pursuing God today? Have you been pursuing, have you been just convicted that there's something going on in your life that you need to take your pursuit of God to a higher level? This series that we've been going through, I'm so used to coming down here and looking right down here at that camera, but this is going to be great. Because God spoke to me and said, this is the day. This is a transitional season for us to go from where we are as a church now to where he's taking us to. And that's exactly what we talked in one of our weeks for you personally. Going from where you're at today to where God wants you to be. This new normal thing has got me all rattled. I don't have a new normal. I tell you what, my new normal is going to be exactly what I've been preaching about. And that's a higher level, more for God, a bigger pursuit for heaven, more for the kingdom that I have been doing. I want to do more, whatever that is. And what did we define that as what? It's exactly what I just said. It's a higher calling, another season, something new that God is laying on your heart to pursue him. We identify that as the what. And then we came into the next week and we talked about where's that at? Where is this new pursuit? And again, it's going from where you're at today to the place God wants to take you. That's where it's at. And we talked about three things that we needed to get there. We needed to accept the assignment that God placed ahead of us. Remember, we talked about Abraham accepting the assignment when his name was Abram. Leave your hometown, leave everything behind, just make a change and pursue what I have for you. But God didn't give him the details. He gave him some of it, but he didn't tell him specifics. They were like big things, but no specifics. He went anyways. He accepted that assignment. Where do you want me to go? I'm going to go. Willing to accept the risk, tons of risk, right? We feel like there's all this risk of doing this sometimes. Samuel going to Bethlehem, looking for a new king, afraid Saul was going to show up because he was on the way out, and God sent him in to find somebody new, and there's risk. I can't go there, God. Saul might track me down and kill me, and the current king, and he went anyways. He accepted the assignment, and he had some risk. We talked about accepting the baton passing, Solomon becoming king. Didn't know what to do. Didn't go to school, didn't go to seminary, didn't have the, but he just, God, you want me to do this? I'm going to do it. He had to figure it out as he went. That's the where. We moved into when is it? When is this all going to take place? We talked about it's going to take place when you want something new from God. When you're done settling for this, and you have decided you want to pursue God to the next level, which is the what, that's when you motivate yourself to move on out. So when's that going to take place? Today. And we talked about that being last week. And God was going to empower you to do that. He was going to deploy you out. And we told you that you had to seek his presence. And all this, what is this pursuit, and when does it take place, and where is it, comes down to the biggest question of all. How do I do it? And I'm going to go through a message today that I believe is going to kind of shake you up. And I think that's exactly what God wants. He wants to kind of stir us. Let me tell you a story about that stirring. You may know the young boy I'm going to speak of, but I'm not going to mention his name at first. I'll tell you at the conclusion of my message. But there is this young boy, because this is a true story. There is a young boy who lived in a very small town in the early 1900s of western Pennsylvania. You know, it's one of those towns that have maybe the stop sign, farming community. His family lived there and decided to relocate to some bigger town. And where did they end up? Akron, Ohio. Yeah, that's right up the street, right? Akron, Ohio, early 1900s. He grows to be a teenager. He starts looking for a job, like Jonathan's doing, has done, right? Get a job. But he's a teenager. And he gets a job at one of the tire manufacturers. Yeah, we remember Akron being the rubber capital of the world, right? And that's why the family went there, opportunity. And this young teenager gets a job. He's walking to work every day. The family didn't really have money for a car. Back then, cars, come on. Were they even on the scene yet? He's walking to work and coming and going each day, and one day he's coming out of work and heading home, and there on the street is a street preacher. How many remember street preachers? And this street preacher made an impact on him, which all preachers want to be used to make an impact on people. Yours truly, of course, too. And he sat or stood there and listened to the street preacher. And the street preacher made this statement. And it goes like this: if you don't know how to be saved, just call on God. Boy, that sounds super spiritual. So he leaves there, heads home, goes up to his attic, and did exactly that. I don't know how to be saved. I don't even know what that is. God, I'm calling on you to save me. God shows up and did just that. He had an encounter with heaven. God shows up, and for the next 5 years, the stirring, the pursuing started. And 5 years later, he felt called to leave Akron, Ohio, and go out into the ministry as a pastor. No formal training, no seminary, no Bible school like we have today, and a church in West Virginia took him on to be a pastor. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Pastors don't get positions as lead pastor without some type of background and training and credentialing. But back then, this church says there's something special about this young man, and we're taking him in. He spent roughly 10 years there, felt called to leave, headed to Chicago, took over a big church in Chicago, spent 30 years pastoring that church. He left that church and headed to Toronto, Canada, where he wound up his ministry as a pastor after 44 years. Came back to Akron, Ohio, and was buried in 1963 in Ellet Cemetery. You could go to Ellet Cemetery, and you would find his grave, but I'm not going to tell you his name. You may know already who I'm talking about. But his whole entire life was a pursuit of God and how to do it. And today, I'm going to teach you how to do it. There was questions in his life that he had to ask himself. And it's big questions. Really life-changing questions for him as a person. When God got a hold of his heart, and he had to start pursuing because he felt, and his comments that he would make a lot would be, I've got to pursue him hard. It's a hard pursuit. I've got to, and it's not meaning it's hard on him. It meant I've got to go after God really hard. And that was his whole entire life, pursuing God really hard. And here's the question that he asked himself. And the question I'm asking you today, what do you want more than anything else in the world? What do you want today? More than anything. Think about that. It's not a trick question. It's just, you know, right or wrong, maybe answer. Just what do you want? You know, we ask that question a lot of times subconsciously. We go to a birthday party. What'd you wish for? Oh, more than anything, I want this. Christmas, we do at Christmas. What do you want? Oh, more than anything in the world, I want this. We do it at weddings. It's a man of my dreams. It's a woman of my dreams. I want this guy or this lady more than anything in the world. This is what I want. More than anything. right? Dear, more than anything, all right? We do it in those events. We do it in Scripture. God, more than anything, bless me with what the Word says here, more than anything. Oh, tell me you haven't said that. Every prayer request, you do it. God, more than anything, answer this prayer. We did it on praise and prayer on Wednesday nights. Lord God, more than any, bless, heal. And we prayed for that, didn't we, Robin? We prayed for those. And guess what happened? We went to God and we were just, we went in prayer and God showed up. Several people were healed. Yes, amen. Because several people testified that they were healed after we prayed for them. More than anything, God healed them. What is your more than anything? It's the biggest question you will ever ask yourself in life. More than anything, God, this is what I need, this is what I want. Matthew 6:33 talks about that a little bit. Let me read it for you because it won't be behind you, but it'll be behind you, but not behind me. It reads like this: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and then all these things will be given unto you." You know, when you read Matthew 6, there's a lot of dialogue going, and Jesus is starting to show us some things and teach us some things. He teaches us in Matthew 6 how to give to the needy, right at the beginning, right? He teaches us the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. He teaches us about 21-day fasting in Matthew 6. He teaches us about laying up our treasures in heaven and not concentrating on the earth and how it's going to decay and go away. And then he gets to the latter part. He starts to teach us about being anxious and this anxiety thing, which we've had here for the last 12 weeks or so, right? He starts to teach us that. And what a scripture for today. Because he's teaching us this and he's saying, listen, why do you worry about the clothes you'll wear? Why do you worry about what food you're going to eat? Why do you worry about all these things? Don't you know that I will provide them for you? I provide them for the animals. I provide them for the birds. Why? They don't come to me and ask me, why? Don't you know? Don't you know? I'll provide those. And then you get into Matthew 6:33. He says, but first, seek my kingdom. And then all these things that you are anxious about, you worry about, they'll show up. It's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. The last part is what we focus on as people, though. We focus on this last part. It says, all these things should be added unto you. You know, we're thinking about our relationships, and we're thinking about our things and all this other stuff. And, you know, we need to flip it around and start looking at the front part of that scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's the seeking of God's kingdom and pursuing his righteousness that we are already given satisfaction. We're already given contentment. We're already given grace. Everything else after that is the bonus. And the man that I talked to you about asked himself this question: what do I want more than anything? And here's his answer: I want God, and I want God alone. That's it. Matthew 6:33, he understood. If I pursue hard after God, the rest of it just shows up. And see, when I'm not pursuing hard after God, I get some problems with the other stuff. But I'm just going to focus on pursuing hard after God and believe God for what his word says, and the rest will just show up. And that's what he did. His life work was to summon the church of Jesus Christ back to godliness. That's what he wanted. That's his calling. And he spent 44 years in the pastorate doing it. What do you want more than anything? What's that question about? Priorities. That question is priorities in your life. What's important to you? Here's the second question I'm going to ask you. What are you willing to pay for what you want most? That question talks about price and sacrifice. So, What do you want more than anything in this world? Now, what are you willing to pay for it? See, we want a lot of stuff, but we're not willing to pay for it. And if we are, we're not willing maybe to sacrifice what's necessary to get it. And then we wonder sometimes why we don't get it. Because God wants to know how much we're willing to sacrifice to get it, and we're not. And there it stops. Right there, we're stuck. We can't get past question two to question three because we don't want to give up anything. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? We'll give up what? We don't want to give up things. We don't want to give up relationships and people. Now, I'm not saying we're always like that. I'm just saying things in general. You know, maybe there's some things that we don't want to give up. I've been poor. I've had much. I've been poor. I've had much. I've been poor. You know, it's been like a circus in my life. And every time I seem like I'm getting ahead, I say, God, I just want to make sure I'm okay with sacrificing and giving up what I need to pursue him harder. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think I got it down. I think we finally arrived. I think my wife and I have finally figured it out. Nothing else matters unless I'm pursuing hard after God. This is a critical question to ponder. For life teaches us that everything worth our passion is also worth our sacrifice. And that is certainly true for your pursuit of God. So, what am I willing to give up? What are you willing to give up? What are you so attached to that you say today, I can't do without that? If it comes down to me pursuing God harder, I can't give up this. It's okay, God, for all of it, but I don't touch this stuff right here. I that's mine. That's just, God, that's my blessing. I can't give that up. And guess what happens? That's the first thing that goes. Because that's your idol. That's your idol, right? Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and I those who seek me diligently find me. That means going hard after God. Going hard after God. I think the church has been woken up these last 12 weeks. I think the church had gotten into a settled, we'll settle into this and we'll be okay. I think God says, whoa, wait a second. I don't want you like that. I want the church to get out of the building and go out and reach people. And if you're not willing to do it yourself or pursue those people that I need you to pursue, if you're not willing, I'll send you out myself. And so he did. So he did. Pursuing God is where your human desire meets divine favor. Pursuing God is where my human desire meets God's divine favor. How much human desire do I have? How much divine favor do I want? Where does it meet? Does it? Or is there something right in the middle of this that I can't get to fully his divine favor because there's something holding me back? And I call that the attachment. That's holding me back. There's something I'm attached to that keeps me from progressing, moving forward to the next level, to pursue God harder. God, what is that in my life? Am I willing to pay the price to get rid of it, to pursue you harder? That's the question. That's the question. So what do you want more than anything in life is your priority, right? What's keeping you from that? What are you willing to pay to get this thing that you want is the price. What's the third question? What's keeping you from claiming what you want most and you're willing to pay for it? What's keeping you and I from doing it? If it's that important, and we think it's so big, and there's a price for it, but it's so big, why can't we pay the price and do it? What's keeping us from doing it? Wow. What's keeping us from reaching this goal? Whatever that is in your life, an answer to that question. Because in a few moments, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Because you're sitting there saying, I'm not sure yet. Because I'm telling you the story. So what's keeping us? I've asked that in my personal life. What is keeping me from going from where I am, to where God wants me to be? How do I get there? And now I know. And so will you. Now I know. And this young man of the story that I told you about figured it out and spent a lifetime in ministry figuring it out and advancing the cause of pursuing God. So what's getting in my way? I'll tell you a couple things that I think gets in people's way. I'll tell you the things that get in pastors' way. Debt. Debt gets in your way. Just things like debt. That gets in pastors' way all the time. We have to be answered the question when we get credentialed for the Assemblies of God, you know, how much debt do you have? Have you ever filed bankruptcy? It's a hindrance to moving forward and pursuing God as a pastor, they think. Okay? Fear. 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 You just figured out and watched for the last 3 months how fear motivates. Fear will keep you from going from where you're at to where God wants you to go. Fear will hold you, bind you, keep you. Fear. But here's the biggest one that I have found. The word speaks to what keeps me from advancing and pursuing God. What keeps me? Me. I keep me. Me. Why? I don't want to give up my things. I don't want to give up my relationships. I don't want to do this. It's just, I don't want to go there. My wife and I were praying this prayer before we accepted the lead pastor here at Calvary Church. God, where do you, we'll go anywhere. She looks at me and says, will you go to Antarctica? Will you go to Alaska? Because she knows I don't like the cold. Boy, right there, you said that? Will you go to Alaska? And I had to pause because Alaska's got to be cold. I know it's cold. And it's not warm very long. I mean, there's parts of Alaska don't even see the sun for, 3 months? God, no, right? Go, my servant. God, Calvary Church looks great, right? He didn't send me there. But self, it's me. It's me. That's the wall that keeps me from doing everything. Nobody gets more in the way of my pursuit of God than me and you. Nobody. Nothing. No things. No jobs and relationships. Nothing gets more in the way of my pursuit of heaven than me and you. Pastor, how do we do it? How do we do it? How do we pursue God? Hard. Don't get in our way. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself right now to see whether you are in the faith. Where am I? The Bible says, what am I doing? Where am I? And I'm going to close today with the very first question I asked. Get ready, church. What do you want more than anything else in the entire world? I told you the story about the young man. That young man wrote book after book after book. He's a well-published author. That young man spent an entire lifetime pursuing God hard. That man wrote the book on how to pursue God hard. That man is A.W. Tozer. Right, Jeannie? Yeah. And if you don't know who A.W. Tozer is, do a little Googling. Just a pastor that wrote book after book after book. that spent a lifetime going after God hard. Hard. He recognized the fact that if I just go after God hard all the time, and I wrap my entire life around that one pursuit, everything else will fall into place. Matthew 6, 33. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to go after God really, really hard, not stop. Book after book after writing of stuff, lives after lives after lives. He touched on going after God hard. Pastor, you still haven't told us how to do it. You spoke now for 30 minutes and you still haven't told us. How do I go hard after God and pursue Him? Right here, right now, I tell you, you make a decision to go hard after God. And you surround everything in your life under that umbrella of that decision, of that pursuit to go hard after God, and that motivates and drives your life. Matthew 6:33 says, everything else comes behind you, and God blesses it and provides it to you however He feels it needs to be provided. That's His call, not mine. But you go hard after God and you pursue Him, but you have to make the decision to do it. Now, there might be a price for that. That's one of the questions. There might be a sacrifice for that. That's another question. Then you have to say, what am I willing to sacrifice and to do it? That's the decision of how you do it. You have to make the decision that you are going to do what A.W. Tozer did. He said, I decided that I'm going to go so hard after God that I know everything else will be wrapped around that pursuit of heaven, that God will just take everything else. As long as I stay hard after God, and that's the only pursuit I want in my life, is what he said. And if I do that one pursuit, that's the only thing I want in this whole wide world, is the hard pursuit after God, and I decide to do that. What do you want more than anything else in the world? It's funny, church, because that question is the question that determines your eternity. That's the question that says, do you want the world and all its things? You want this life here? Or do you want to go hard after God and live here as a proving ground, but end up in eternity with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Redeemer of your soul, and spend eternity pursuing hard after God? That decision is the decision I am going to ask you to make today. So, in this moving towards the post-COVID era, trust me, it'll show up again around September for whatever reason. So I'm going to ask you to make a decision. Are you going to follow hard after God and pursue Him like never before? Now I'm going to ask you to make that decision right here at God's altar at Calvary Church. See, we have all this space now. You can come up to the altar, make your decision. You can fan out and not even be near anybody. Stand over all around, because we're going to sing a song that's going to impact your life. And if you still want to make that decision, but you don't want to come up here for whatever reason because it's still a concern for you, I understand that. All you have to do is stand at your seat. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to call for a decision at Calvary Church for those who want to pursue hard after God. And if that is you, don't waste time. Come to the altar, fan out, raise your hands, worship together. You'll know the song, and God is going to honor your decision. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I want to pursue hard after you more than ever. Lord God, I'd leave everything behind. I will do whatever it takes, Lord God. I want to pursue you more than ever. Father God, for those here that are going to make that decision with me, Lord God, I ask you, Lord God, just to instill in them this drive, this motivation, this conviction, this determination, Lord God, to take them from where they're at right here to where you want them to be, pursuing hard after you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that is you right now, get up out of your seat, come up here, and let's pursue hard after God. And if you don't feel like coming up, just stand at your seat and let's worship together.
The great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call.
I hope you realize what's going to happen in your very life today. God is going to reveal to you what he needs from you and where you're going to go. And you're going to have to publicly declare right now, and I'm going to ask you to do that. As you came up and you stood around God's altar or stood at your chair, I asked you a week ago while you were online to type in, "I am ready." Many of you remember that. Many of you did that. But that was a preparation for right here, today. To publicly declare, "God, I am ready to go where you send me, to do what you want me to do, from where I'm at today to where you want me to be." That might not be a physical location, church. That might be just doing something else. A higher calling for God, a higher level, something new. Remember, that's what the pursuit is all about. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to publicly scream out, "I am ready." Make it harder and harder for him. Just yell out, ready? "Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I am ready for a new pursuit, a new direction, a new purpose, whatever that is, Lord God." Matthew 6:33 says, "I don't have to worry about everything else. I will pursue you hard, Lord God, and I know you'll take care of everything else, and I thank you for that, Lord God." Lord God, bless these people as they go for a new purpose, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, I know you told me you would lay it on their hearts. Give it to them, Lord. They are ready. In Jesus' name, the Church of Jesus Christ said, amen. Have a great week. Pursue God like you've never pursued him before into a new season. God bless you. Have a great week. See you.